Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 12. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the text. Last week, we heard how the chief priests and Pharisees, they knew that Jesus was actually from God, or at least was a prophet of God. But they wanted to kill him anyway, because they wanted to keep things the way that they were. They liked their lives as it was, and they didn't need Jesus interfering with that. Jesus was inconvenient to them because they didn't want to change. Only Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, as far as we know, made public their faith in Christ, and that was only after he was dead. Today in John's Gospel, we hear that many of the authorities believed in him, but they feared what would happen to them if they made their faith known. Then we hear in our epistle reading from Philippians, St. Paul exhorts the people to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and give glory to God the Father. He says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The reality is that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Eventually, everyone will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The only question is when, because if that does not happen until the day of judgment, it will be too late. We gather here today so that we can once again confess our faith in God. And once again, hear that good news of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Once again, receive the forgiveness of sins and the absolution. Receive the sure promise of eternal life, salvation found in Christ's body and shed blood. At the late service today, there are three children of God who are going to confirm the faith of their baptism, and they are going to publicly confess their faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This confession of faith, it's an important step in the growth of the Christian. When those three were baptized as infants, they had sponsors who answered on their behalf, who answered the same questions, many of the same questions I'm going to ask them today. They had others to confess their faith for them, their sponsors, their godparents, spoke the words of the Apostles' Creed. Now that they have grown in their baptismal faith, studied the Word of God, the teachings of the Word as it's presented in Luther's Small Catechism, each of them are going to make a public confession of their faith and a lifelong pledge to be faithful to Christ and to His church. They're going to make the same pledge of faith that I made, most of you made when you were their age. And after they have stated the words of the Apostles' Creed, reaffirming that faith created in them at their baptism, I will ask them several questions. The one that we tend to focus on in our confirmation class and is one of the more pointed questions I ask is, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word? To be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments, which are his means of grace, and in faith, word, and action to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. And they will answer, I do by the grace of God. Now, that's a very important question. This is a question that many of the people in Jerusalem in Jesus' day were unwilling to answer. Many of them liked Jesus. They saw the miracles. They believed he was from God. However, they did not want their faith to cause them any inconvenience. If you are focusing your attention on God only when it is convenient for you, if you're gathering for worship only when it is convenient to your schedule, you are rejecting the faith, the confession of faith made at your confirmation. The body and blood of the Son of God, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, is what is offered here. To say, I don't really need it. I'll come back in a few weeks. That belies the confession that was made when you confirmed the faith of your baptism. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. It is here that God gives you forgiveness. But he offers life. Salvation. If this is not of the highest priority, then you are rejecting the confession of faith made at your confirmation. Whether you're one of those three making their confession today, or whether you made that vow decades ago, the highest priority in life is participating in the glory that comes from God. And the glory that comes from God is seen in the Son of God lifted up on the cross, pouring out his blood and enduring the judgment that you and I deserve. Last week in Bible class, we were reading Paul's words from Romans 5. And Paul reminds his readers of what a tremendous gift it is that Christ entered this world and suffered the death that Adam and his children deserved. Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We've been justified by his blood, saved by him from the wrath of God. And all this while we were still his enemies. It is beyond our wildest expectation that the Almighty God would act in such a way. Why should he care so much about us? The Son of God leaves the glory of the heavenly realm so that he can be lifted up upon the cross, because that's the only way that he could bring healing, so that he could bring peace. He did this so he could bring peace to those who hate him, so that he can open the eyes of those who are blind to the truth, whose hearts are hardened. Our Lord wants every knee to bow and every tongue to confess him as Lord. Even from the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So later today, I'm going to ask those three, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word? Be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments, which are his means of grace, and in faith, word, and action to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. And I know that those three, when asked, will answer, I do by the grace of God, because they're going to have it written on the paper right in front of them. I pray, and I'm pretty confident that they are sincere in their confession. This morning, I ask, what is your answer? Although the wording may have changed a little over the years, it is a question that has been asked of those who are hungering and thirsting for the body and blood of Christ since the early days of Christ's church. This one question encompasses everything that confirmation is about. Confirmation, it's not about doing memory work or taking tests. It's not some hoop that the church makes a person jump through in eighth grade. It's not a graduation ceremony that ends your relationship with Luther's small catechism. Confirmation Day is when a baptized child of God publicly announces that they would rather suffer death than to fall away from faithfully coming to hear God's word and receive his sacrament. Because without God's word, and without the body and blood of Jesus, it would only lead to a fate worse than death. If we do not have his means of grace, death would be better than what would be coming when we stand before the judgment seat of God. Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday thinking about you. You were his highest priority, and he poured out his blood as a ransom price for your slavery to sin, that while you were still his enemy, he set you as his highest priority to rescue you from the depths of death and hell. And Jesus says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Amen.